reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while in the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of others? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. They will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
It's a good day today. I don't know if you guys feel about this today. During the worship, I really want to pray before we begin the service today. Because if you were like me, that you would go into worship and then transfer into worry. Am I the only one that did that during the worship set? Where you're just going, oh, I surrender all. And then all of a sudden you're stressing out about something, worried about something. I guess I'm the only one out here doing this. So maybe I'm the only one to need prayer. But if you need prayer, I want you guys to stand and pray. And I want to pray this, that you can totally surrender to the Lord at this time. Because there's stuff that you're worrying about, stuff that you're stressing out about, stuff that's going on that I really feel the Holy Spirit really wants to come alongside of you at this moment and really fill you with His Spirit. And I want you to know that the Lord can say, I got this. I got this. And that you can have peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a peace. You can't give us a peace that passes understanding. And I pray everyone that is standing here right now can feel and know and embrace your presence. We pray, Lord, that when we begin to worry this week and when we begin to lose sleep this week, that we can hear your strong, steady voice to say, I've got this. You got to trust me on this. I know what's going to happen. I've got this. We're going to do it together. And I just pray, Lord, that we can leave this sanctuary with an incredible peace that only you can give, that's not dependent on the circumstances around us, but it's dependent on the inner experience of who we are in you. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. You know, before I begin, I want to show you, we're doing the Hump Day podcast, and I'm totally into this Hump Day podcast stuff. Last week, if you show, Robin did it last week, did an interview last week. Great interview. It was about her sharing about her family, the way she was brought up, and going to schooling, and becoming a minister, and becoming ordained in the Free Methodist denomination, and also sharing about some of the stuff about people don't accept women pastors. And the struggle that she has to go through that on a daily basis. Now, this Wednesday is a hard one for me to do an interview. It's Jamie Miller. Now, Jamie Miller not only lost her dad, lost her husband, but lost her mother within a four-year period. And so she just struggles with the Lord, struggles with going through some things. So I really want you to pray for her, continue to pray for her. But it's a powerful podcast of just her being honest, her perspective of God, her perspective of the Lord, and revealing who she is in the Lord. So do listen to that. That's going to come out this Wednesday. Now, this is interesting. I don't know. But sometimes everyone goes, oh, pastor only works like 30 minutes a day, and they're off by 12 o'clock, 30 minutes a week. And it's interesting because I work during the week, too. And sometimes I get people that make appointments with me. I don't know if you ever had someone make an appointment with you, and you have no idea what the agenda is. And so they're prepared. They know what, they have their points. They have the key things that they're going to say. They practice this on the way to the car. But you have no idea what they're going to talk about. So you've been practicing your reactions. You know, and stuff like that, instead of getting real mad or something, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I deal with this, whatever this may come? So there was a couple of leadership in this church that came up to me and sat down and looked at each other, and this is the hard thing, when they say, hey, before we begin, can we pray? Oh, no, this is going to be horrible, I can tell right now, you know, and so you can tell where the meeting's going to go by how somebody prays for the meeting. Like if they pray, Lord Jesus, help him be open-minded to the truth and stuff like that. You're just going, oh, shoot. I don't remember the prayer, but you can tell how a person feels about you is how they pray about you. So they go, we've noticed that you started a yoga class in the church. And I said, yes. They said, you know, do you know where yoga comes from? It comes from the religion Hinduism. And Hinduism, way back in the 200 AD and 400 AD, what they did, those stretches and breathing techniques, were to bring the Hindu god into the presence, into their souls. And so what you're doing, Kevin, you're bringing Hinduism within your sanctuary, and you're bringing all these demonic gods into the sanctuary. What are you going to do? Now, again, I've never done a yoga class. My wife was taking the yoga class. I don't remember her levitating when she was sleeping, but she was doing the yoga class as well. In fact, the yoga class for my wife was very helpful to her back because, and she, to this day, practices yoga. So I said, let me look into it. So we prayed. I prayed for them, stuff like that. So, you know, what do? You look into it, you Google it, right? So I go, is yoga, and then it suggests, you know those suggestions, is a religion. And I went, oh, shoot. And so I don't know if you saw this, because I'm looking up pictures like this, and I go, I don't get it. I don't understand. This, to me, is deep stretching and all of this. And so when I Googled it, it comes from Hinduism, Jainism, and Buddhism. And so I looked at this picture, and I go, dang, it's sitting just like Buddha. So I go, oh, my goodness, I'm just bringing this stuff in. And so then I started checking with other pastors. Do you have yoga classes? They go, no. I go, why? You know, there's no need to. So I go, okay. So I call my denominational leaders, and I say, hey, what is going on? Am I doing this? I'm letting the devil in? And my denominational leader said, chill out. There's no problem. And so I went, and I met with the couple again, and I said this. I said, I did the research, I did the prayer, I prayed about it, I looked in it, I heard about how the class is going. I personally have no problem with it. And so they respectfully said, okay. Because by the conscious decision that they had, they really honestly believed that it was affecting their spiritual walk with Christ. And so I'm not called to judge people. I'm called to love people. I'm called to disciple people. And if this is your structure that you need, like don't have anything to do with yoga, then that's fine. But I cannot implement it on other people. So it reminded me of the 70s. Now, I don't know if you remember if you were alive in the 70s, but do you remember this guy, the big preacher, Jimmy Swaggart? Hey, stop it. Okay, Jimmy Swaggart. I tried to be Jimmy Swaggart. Well, let me get into it. Back in the 70s, what happened is the churches brought this demonic instrument in the church. It's called the drums. A lot of Christians believed that it came from the African practices when they beat the drums to bring voodooism into certain gods in. And so when in the 70s they brought the drums in, you go, oh my goodness, you're crazy. And then you brought the guitars in, you're more crazier. Because there was a big uproar about the guitars and the drums. So over here, the keyboard and the violin, cool. Over here, Giovanni and gents, devil. Okay. You guys are the devil. You guys are cool. Okay. Okay, and so it even got to the point when I came to this church, because if you look in the 70s and 80s and 90s, they had what's called worship wars. And during worship wars, that basically the old school, what they did is they said, you know what? We need the traditional worship organ and piano, and that's it. And so during these worship wars, it was going on, and I came here in the late 90s. I hired Brooke for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. That was in the 90s. Brooke's still here. So that's good for you. That's a long, while I'm dogging him, you're saying amen. But he caused stress in my life in the 90s because he brought the keyboard, and then he decided, I'm going to bring drums, and I'm going to bring the guitar. And we had a family in this church, no joke, that right at the beginning of the service, they sat right there. And then when Brooke got up, they left. And their kids stuck their fingers in their ears, jumping up and down during the worship service so they could not hear the drums or the guitar. And after they came, they would come in the service. No joke. And so they sincerely believed that this and this were of the devil. And so then Jimmy Swaggart preached against it. And he said, this is of the devil. So you have Jimmy Swaggart going, yes, this is demonic. And you know who Jimmy Swaggart's cousin is? Jerry Lee Lewis, okay? How does Jimmy Swaggart and Jerry Lee Lewis in the same family? That would be family reunion time, would be great. Then I found this picture. The older they get, they just kind of became friends. And that wasn't an issue anymore. You know, we're doing a series on how painting the picture. And the thing is, what I've noticed with the yoga techniques and music, that I use a logical side, a reasoning side of my brain here. And I'm realizing breathing techniques and stretching techniques, Satan did not create those. God created those. The only things that Satan created that I understand is chaos and division. Then I look at rock music, which I was one time in. I'm more into R&B music now, and because I married my wife, all I hear is country music. That basically Satan did not create rhythm, he did not create melody, he did not create harmony. And so if you look on the screen here, it says things like stretching, breathing, making music is neutral. God created us with the ability to do those things. If we pervert them in any way for harmful purposes, that does not make them bad in of themselves. God can redeem anything. Those things are redeemed when they are given to God and to honor God. And so this is where it's important that, yes, they sincerely believed that yoga was wrong. They sincerely believed that rock music was wrong. But I sincerely believe that it's not an issue. And so my job, again, is not to judge them, but to love them. And so as we start this series, continue this series of painting the picture, last week we painted a picture of love. This week, Apostle Paul is pulling up his brush, and he's painting a picture titled Tolerance. And it's interesting the ways that we disagree or have division between us. So if you look in the Bible, it's interesting. The Roman church was going through a division. They weren't going through yoga discussions, and they weren't going through rock music. There was not such a thing. You know what they were going through? What people ate. Their dietary, whether they ate healthy or not healthy. And they were going back and forth on this. And so Paul addresses this in the Roman church. If you look at it, it starts in verse 1. He says this, welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than others. while others judge all days to be alike. Let all the fully convinced in their own minds, those who observe the day, observe it and honor the Lord. And also those who eat, eat and honor the Lord. Since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. Now, this was over 2,000 years ago, what the Roman church was going through. And most likely, they were going through a division that was caused by the Jewish Christian and the Gentile Christians. Because if you understand when Christianity started, Jesus was Jewish, his disciples were Jews, and the first followers of Christ were Jews themselves. And because they were brought into what's called Christianity, they were brought up in the traditions of the Jewish religions. And so sometimes when they were serving Christ, they still practiced Judaism. They practiced their eating, what we call kosher, their Jewish dietary laws. They practiced the Sabbath, and they practiced other holidays. And so therefore, in Rome, you'll find out that back in those days, that was very hard to find a Jewish butcher that was kosher. And so to find certain particular meats in the dietary law, they couldn't find it. So what back in those days, they said, forget it. We're just going to be vegetarians. We're not going to eat meat. And so they couldn't find pure or kosher meat. And so they avoided eating this together. But yet they followed the Jewish holidays and they observed the Sabbath. And Paul himself had no problem with that. He said, if you do it, that's fine. You can do it. But don't impose it on other people, especially the Gentile people. And so therefore, Paul was very tolerant, both to the practices of these people, the Jews, and also tolerant in the Gentiles that didn't want to practice this. In fact, Paul felt it this way. It's on the screen. Paul knew that some people still needed spiritual, what we'll call today, training wheels, following the religious rules and rituals of their spiritual traditions. It can teach us to ride the spiritual bike while we are still developing into a mature faith. Once a faith has matured, people can take or leave these training wheels. Paul himself could take or leave them. He knew that it was not necessary for his faith, but he had no problems with them. This is why Paul says, welcome in the weak. And that sounds like a put down, but it wasn't, because Paul understood that every one of us are in different stages in their spiritual walk. Now, if there was certain numbers or certain categories, all of us would be different in our spiritual walk right now. Some of us are tight. We're really good. Some of us are doubting. Some of us are saying, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure about this. We're all in the development stages. And so these training wheels, what I'm talking about, are ways of constructing or balancing ourselves out when we first follow Christ. It's kind of a balance thing. You remember when you rode a bike for the first time without training wheels? It was freedom, wasn't it? I could turn, I could do this, I could crash and cry, I can do anything right now. I can do wheelies, I can do skidding. I was like Evel Knievel. You guys remember Evel Knievel? Do you guys? Okay, because if you're under 40, you don't. And so, Evel Knievel. And so basically what he's saying here is welcome them. Be tolerant to their training wheels. Don't argue with them about how they don't need training wheels simply because they no longer need it. Now, there's two basic groups that I believe that use what I call the spiritual training wheels. The first is the religious groups. Now, if you know, I grew up in the church, and I'm very religious. And so we were brought up with a certain type of training wheels that we're told, this is how a Christian acts, this is what he does. For instance, how many of you grew up Catholic? Okay, there's a certain training wheel that you had, the rosary prayer, or certain prayers or confession. That was your training wheels that you grew up with, that you were told, this is what a follower of Christ does. Now, how many of you grew up in the Pentecostal church? Okay, you grew up in the Pentecostal church. Long prayer times, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Those were important. Those were what established you to be a follower of Christ. Now, for me, I grew up in the holiness movement. Did anyone grow up in the holiness movement? Because if you did one, I'm sorry. Brooke and I have issues already. The holiness movement for me was not what you did, it's what you didn't do. And it was like playing cards. Oh man, you were going to hell if you played cards. So we would play Rook instead of poker cards, which didn't make any sense to me. And therefore we didn't smoke, we didn't drink, and we didn't listen to worldly music. Because we were indoctrinated? Close. Do you remember back then when they played the records backwards? Do you remember that? To go, oh, there's rock music playing backwards. And I'm thinking, why would I want to play a record backwards? And they go, boom, boom, Satan lives, boom, boom, Satan lives. And you go, oh my goodness, I'm listening to this music. Remember that? Okay, you have to be over 40, I know. But boom, boom, we play the record backwards. Somehow, that's not anymore. And so therefore, we wouldn't listen to worldly music. If you came from the Seventh-day Adventists, what were your training wheels? Vegetarian, the way you act, the way you eat, and all of a sudden, instead of worshiping on Sunday, the Sabbath, it was a Saturday, the Sabbath. So those were your training wheels. Or the Churches of Christ, their background, they were taught the way to worship was with no instruments. So you wouldn't even have the violin or the keyboard. It was nothing, a cappella. Thank goodness, because I sing awful. So you need music for me to sound any kind of decent. And so the second group to understand this are brand new Christians. Brand new Christians need some type of structure. We call this discipleship, or what we call the beginnings and deepers, and the road. And so therefore we create some kind of training wheels that would help you grow. And then when you do grow, you can take the training wheels off. You don't need to do this particular way and be the way that you like. But what happens if you have brand new Christians that are struggling with addictions or 12-step programs, their training wheels are permanent. They need to do the 12-step program for life. And they know this. And they're not screwed on. They're welded on. They need that structure. And it's good for them. It's good. But to impose that particular way on everybody else, or tell somebody that's on the 12-step program, you don't need those training wheels, you can be free, it's not going to work for them. Do you see how that works? And so it's important to understand that some of us, the rest of our lives, will continue to use certain training wheels if necessary. But it's pretty much what Paul says here. Look on the screen. Some people need and want training wheels, and some people don't. Therefore, don't argue about them. It's not a problem if you use them. It's not a problem if you know you don't need them. The problem happens when people who use the training wheels insist that everyone else needs those same training wheels, or when people who don't need them try to convince those who use them to stop using them. In fact, this is what Paul says in verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they are upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Do you get what Paul's saying here? He's saying, stop judging other servants. You're a servant yourself. And so the thing is, look, I can be the most judgmental person on the planet too. All of us can. And we put ourselves, when we judge other people, we put ourselves higher. Well, Paul is saying, look, guys, you're all servants. You're all servants of the Lord. So why are you judging each other? It's very simple. And so he's saying, therefore, you're accountable to the Lord. You're not accountable to each other. So allow that. You're not their God. You're not their conscience. Look on the screen. Paul makes a powerful statement here about grace here. He says it's only before the judgment of Christ that we will stand or fall. However, those who practice their faith in sincerity, training wheels or not, will stand or be held up by God's grace at the time of judgment. So Paul again saying, stop it. Stop judging other people's walks with the Lord. Because sometimes I don't understand why we judge each other, because we're saying, I'm such a better Christian. I'm such high and mighty. And it's usually certain rules that we gravitate towards training wheels. These are my training wheels. you're stupid if you don't do it this way. You're not really a Christian. And I've seen so much division among churches, among denominations, because they're so insistent when it comes to certain behaviors, certain ways to act, than really allowing the Christ to really develop them and heal them and move them in a mighty way. And so, and I'm going to add the word. So if you look at Romans chapter 14, 6, I'll put that up on the screen. I'm going to add the word training wheel. So I'm going to rewrite the word of God. Okay? I'm just telling you right now. And the thing is to understand how the training wheels fit. Verse 6, those who observe the day, they're using training wheels, observe it to honor the Lord. So it's no big deal to Paul. Also, those who eat, no training wheels, eat and honor the Lord. See where he's going with this? Since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, the training wheels, abstain and honor the Lord and give thanks to God. So Paul is saying training wheels are not training wheels. Rituals are not rituals. You're still followers of Christ. Does that make sense? And so it's important to say this. If you look on the screen, although the actions are different, with some observing special Jewish days and eating kosher, and others not doing so, the attitude of the heart is the same of each side. Both are doing or not doing what they are doing with a clear conscience, with a motive to honor and please God. Both are thankful to God. That's what matters, because both are exercising the faith that they have through their actions. So Paul is stressing out the importance here of tolerance within the church. This is within the church. People who are very different places in their own spiritual walk. Now, I don't know if you've bumped into someone that says, I read the Bible every morning, hour and a half, 4:30 in the morning. Have you ever tried that? This is me reading at 4:30 in the morning. It don't work. Okay, it doesn't. Illustration. It doesn't work for some of us. Some of us go out in nature and feel so close to God. It takes a while to get out in nature out here, but we feel close. Some of us feel close to God when we're exercising, when we're doing things right. Some of us feel closer to God when we're sitting in the backyard reading a book. We are all different. And so for me, it's getting up 4:30 in the morning, but it's not reading, it's walking. It's being by myself. That works. But if I try to implement it on you and say, these are the training wheels you need, it's not going to work for you. This reminds me of a famous historical Christian. I'll put it on the screen. He said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And so if you look at this, what are the essentials? What are the non-negotiable? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the essentials that we all need Jesus in our lives. And that's what's amazing when I was young and go, this is what I need. I need to be loved. Not conditionally, because I got this in the world. But I need loved unconditionally. And I need to understand his resurrection, that he died for my sins. He rose again so that I can live a life of free from my sins, that I'm forgiven and that I'm redeemed and I'm still being redeemed. Those are the essentials. The thing is, the non-essentials are basically what Paul is telling us to stop doing. The religious things. When it comes to doing this or doing this or your way of doing this or different churches out, they say this is it. This is where we need to say, this is not important. This is not a hill to die on. Therefore, we should give each other the liberty, which means tolerant, and understand, hey, if this works for you, if this is the way you grow, then go for it. In fact, all things is charity, and that's most important. John Wesley, the founder of our Methodism, said this. If you look on the screen, it says this. And it says Romans 14:4, too. It says, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion. So I want to close this. Every message during the series, I want to implement this. what does this look like at MCF? What does this look like when I say restored in order to restore? It's a picture of tolerance. Because all of us need to be restored. All of us who stood up, there's a process of restoration. Remember I was crying about my houses last Sunday because I thought Irma was going to take them down? Well, somehow it missed it. But you know what? That lasted for 2 days and I started worrying about other things. And I even told my wife, why can't I stay there? Why can't I stay in the moment where I'm not stressing out about something? And the further out in the future I go worrying about, the worse off and less peace I have. Why can't I just live for today? Why can't I just live? This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. It didn't say this is the 5 years in advance he has made. This is a day. We're all here. We're all breathing. And we all love the Lord. Why can't we just enjoy this day? And that's important. And so we do this. This is the good news where it can tell us to liberate us. And if we do it, look on the screen. MCF will be a place where you can come as you are. Amen? Come as you are. I don't care. Come as you are. Will be a place that you can come as you are, and we will, as you are patient with me, while God is restoring you into what God made you to be. We will recognize that we are all in a process of restoration, and that is the process is spent along by grace and not by judging or forced conformity. We are God's restoration project, and so we will leave the fixing up to God. I am a restoration in process. You are a restoration in process. And the thing is, what would we like our life to be? How do we exhibit the tolerance for each other? Think of someone you can't stand right now. It takes 2 seconds, doesn't it? Think of a family member that just drives you crazy. If you're looking at them, think of me. I need your tolerance. You need to give one another tolerance. I need to give tolerance to each other. Tolerance is part of the restoration. Where do I need to stop judging people? Where do I need to show compassion? Where do I need to show love? It's easy to love people that love you back, isn't it? Or to love you when they have the same political, the same thing. But to love somebody, to care about them, to give them tolerance, that's important. If you look at your connection card, and I want to pray about this. We pray for you every Tuesday as a staff. And so maybe this is your prayer request. If you look at your connection card, with God's help, I will be a person at MCF who gives grace and not judgment to others. If you're really honest, that needs to be a prayer. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I am good at judging people. I'm very good. And so the second thing is I will prayerfully paint a picture on how God wants me to be more tolerant and less judgmental towards someone in my life. I will name that person, pray about it, journal my thoughts, and write specific ways to extend more grace and less judgment. All right, there's your homework. May God bless you, and may God bless his word.